Okay, we learned in the last Mishnah that the Bailim have Kedima to anybody else, and we forced them actually to be the ones, the first ones to give a bid. So now the Mishnah, obviously, we don't automatically give it to the Bailim, because the bidding process goes up and up. So we give it to the highest bidder. The Bailim are in a catch-22 situation, which we'll see what the lumdus of that is, because technically, the Bailim always ate a chaymish. And the chaymish is milava. So that means that the Bailim ate a chaymish based on, it's really 25%. After the chaymish, it's a chaymish. After it's, we look at it like it's already in the pot. So that's the way the chaymish works. So the Bailim, when a Bailim tells us 20, what Hektish sees is $25. That's what Hektish sees. Hektish sees now a $25 bid. And therefore, Hektish is not going to give it to anybody who gives less than 25. So now, if somebody offers 24, let us say, so now what Hektish basically has is the $25 bid from the Bailim, $24 bid from this person. So they're not going to give it to this guy. They're going to give it to the Bailim. But now, the Bailim got to give 24 plus the original fifth. Which really, l'chayre, sounds unfair. Why can't the Bailim just say, l'chayim l'shom, I'm not interested. I did my job, I gave the first bid. $20 bid, done. I bid $20. Now somebody offered 25, so give it to him. Somebody offered 24, give it to him. He's offering more than me. Elamai, you're looking at me as a better bidder because I have a chaymish. So take my chaymish. With my chaymish, it's more than the other guy's bid. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the Bailim must add. So when they're basically getting themselves into a, really, when the Bailim says, does the Bailim have to realize from the beginning, when they make a $20 bid, it's really like they're making a $25 bid. And they, ultimately, they may have to pay up to $25 plus the chaymish. And then, so this is complicated on its own to understand why that is. But then to make it a little more complicated, they don't give a fifth of the new number. They give a fifth on the old number, which sounds like it's bringing us back to first base again. So now you're telling me, Moloshech, if you're telling me that my $20 bid is really a $25 bid, because the Chaymish just gets sucked into it. So now it's as though I made a $25 bid. And the other guy made an offer, a bid of 24. So you're giving it to me. And now I'm stuck. Now my $25 bid just went up another chaymish. We could somehow try to make sense of that. But now we see it's not like that. We say, no, you only have to give a chaymish based on your bid. So that means what you're ending up doing is paying your 20 plus your chaymish plus the 4. Because ein moisif chaymish aliluya shel zeh. I don't have to add a fifth on that guy's bid. What does that mean? It's a monoshech. If we look at it like that guy's number, if we're ignoring that guy's number, just let me pay 25 and finish. Elamai, when the other guy said 24, that became the new bid. And my bid is like it was a $25 bid. So now I should have to pay a chaymish. At least on the 24. Should be 24 and a chaymish. Well, then we have no problem. If we just look at the Karen, that guy wins. Then the second bidder should win and I could go kol tuv. That's the first chiddush of the Mishnah. First chiddush of the Mishnah is, we don't say you gave a $20 bid, you gave a $24 bid, you get it. No, we take into account what Hekdish is going to get. But that's logical. Why should Hekdish lose? Hekdish goes, your bid was going to be 25 at the end of the day. So why should we take his 24? He was going to give 20 plus a chemish.
Why didn't just say 25? Why he added
to that? That's our question. Our question is mimalashach. Either stick to my original bid, which was 20 plus a chemish, and that's logical. We say, so you pay the 20. The original money that you really, when you came to Hekdesh and you said, I'll give $20 for this field, what you really said was, I'm going to give 25. So now when the other guy came in and said 24, we say, no, we don't want you, we want you. You're 25. That's fine. But we don't do that. We say, in a second, now the price is 24. So now you buy them, have to give 24. Plus, you have to give a chaimish. But the chaimish is going to be based on your original bid, not based on your current bid. That's the problem. This din is taking us, it's roichev atrei chamri. It's riding on two donkeys here. It's going into two different directions, this din. Mamonoshuch. And if we actually view the $24 guy as a real number, so then that becomes the new number. Either tell me I got to meet it, and then if I got to meet it, I got to meet it and then pay a chemish. Well, tell me I don't have to meet it. But you're telling me nishtahi nishtahel. So the Mishnah says, Omar echor arei sheli be'esr saloim, v'omar echor be'esrim. Another guy says 20, v'echorei me'bishloishim, v'echorei me'ba'boim, v'echorei me'bachamishim. Okay, so now the violin, we're not talking about the violin. We got different bids. Each bidder is getting involved in a contract with Hekdesh. It's like today, if you bid something online, they have a whole, right, whole acknowledgement that when you bid, you're entering a contract. So the Mishnah is saying, when you say 10, it's not Stam 10, it's a contract, which will, I'll show you, there's a whole Shaila and a Poskim in Shul. If you make a bid for an Aliyah, there's a possibility that you're getting yourself into a real contract. Which means, technically, possibly, technically and possibly, let's say you're selling Mafta Yena. Yeah? So one guy says, I'll buy Mafta Yena for 2,000. The other guy says, I'll buy Mafta Yena for 3,000. And then another guy pops up, he says, I'll buy Mafta Yena for $3,500. And that $3,500 guy is just a fly-by-night guy. He bids. There are people that are bidders. They bid. See, he bids $3,500. Lamaisa, he disappears. Right? His bid, he's gone. Now, could the shul go over to the guy who bid $3,000 and tell him, listen, pay? $3,500 guy was out. You already put in a bid for $3,000. We can't go after that guy. He's gone. We're going after you. Forget getting that Leah. The question is, that's another question. That's easier. One question is, that's a good shaila. A guy buys an Aliyah, he buys an Aliyah 2 weeks before, and then he doesn't show. Could you go to the other guy that put in the pledge right below him, tell him, okay, or does he say, listen, I'm out. That guy won the Aliyah. I'm out of town. I'm gone. I'm not interested. I don't want the Aliyah anymore. I lost the Hadiyat Sahara then, and this will cover it, and then I lost it. Now I don't want the Aliyah. Could he do that? That's one question. There it's almost more logical to say that maybe he's still bound by his $3,000 pledge. But I'm going even further than that. The other guy went up to the Sefer Torah from after Yena. He did the whole thing. He got his Aliyah. Now, after Yom Kippur, he doesn't pay. Not paying. And there's no way to get the money out of him. He disappears. He's gone. Now, could the shul go to the guy below him and say, listen, you made a pledge. Amir l'gavoya is kemesir l'hedyut. Right? Okay. That's the question is, when you pledge money to a shul, what would be if you pledged money and you won the Aliyah and you didn't take the Aliyah? Let me give you a different case. You pledged for an Aliyah, you won the Aliyah and you didn't take it. You went to the bathroom. You took a walk. You were kidnapped. I'm not saying it's not a question whose fault it is. Okay, the Rav threw you out. which I'm holding by doing at times. What's the problem? Yitzi's right on the edge, right? So then what's the halacha? The shaila is, when do you become chayiv in that pledge? Do you become chayiv in that pledge from when you make the pledge, or do you become chayiv in that pledge from when you make the aliyah? Is it a pledge to the shul and you're getting an aliyah? I mean, is aliyah really something you could buy? Is it really a purchase? So there's actually a whole mevuch on the poskim about this. The Mogen Avrom brings down over here like this. One guy said he's going to give 10 zehuvim for an aliyah. This Mogen Avrom is hearing Kuf Nun Dalet. And another guy comes and he says, I'm going to give 15. The second guy is gone. So the Mogen Avraham is talking about even before the aliyah, where it's less of a shaila, because then maybe we could tell you, take the aliyah. You got to take it. So the Mogen Avraham says he's obligated, and he uses our Gemara as the proof. Because it says that if each guy that backs out of the deal, the next guy got up is mechuyev. Anyway. That's the overwhelming feeling. The Machzah Shekel holds that way, like you, that when you say, I'm going to give $3,000, it's like you're making a Tanai. I'm only going to give $3,000 if I end up getting the Aliyah. If I don't get the Aliyah, I'm not giving $3,000. And that's why Machzah Shekel also holds, if you bought the Aliyah and then something happened, you couldn't take it, you also don't have to pay. Now again, you could say, well, if you were a Pesheya, maybe you do have to pay. If you're not a Pesheya, you don't have to pay. But that's what he says. In other words, what happens if the guy says, I'll change my mind, I don't want the Aliyah. I bought it for $3,500. I don't want the aliyah now. So you're stuck. You bought it. Even though you didn't really buy anything. We'll get back to this. An aliyah is not really a heftz of something that you could buy. Right? It's more in recognition of your pledge. We're giving you covet. That's really what it is. You're giving a pledge, we'll give you covet. A bigger pledge, more covet. Why? Oh, so that's the question. Did you make a Tanai Kafel? This is all the shilas. Like I said, I did this in the hotel with somebody. A very wealthy guy. I copped him with this Amir Legovoya. You two remember that, I said, a guy in the hotel. I went over to him. In the Pesach. This guy, I made a cheshbon. This guy's bill was over 100 grand. Because he had all his eniklach there for Pesach. The mishpoches and... The whole Pesach, all everybody was doing was making a cheshbon this guy's bill. How much it's costing him. So then the Pesach, I asked him to give the yeshiva something. So he said, what would you like? I said, just a miser of your bill in the hotel. So first glance, he was saying a miser of his bill. He said, no problem. Literally within 10 seconds, he went, 1 second! It settled in. The miser of the bill wasn't $500. Yeah. I said, Amir Legovoya can Mesir Lehedit. That's over. We could talk about the future, but that, the Meister of the bill, that's taken care of. Not going to say what happened at the end, but that was the... So the Meister, the Mishnah says that if you're Choyzel Boy Shol Chamishim, what happens now if you start getting retractions? So you had a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 guy. Okay? So you had 5 chevra. And now you start getting retractions. So chozer bo yishol chamishim, if the 50 guy retracts, memashkin min chosav ad eser. So he's got to pay the 10, that he ate it. He ate a 10. So in essence, his pledge was for 10 tenzers. Because there was 40 already pledged. He came and said, I'll give 50. So if he retracts, he got to give 10. And so on. Shalaboyim, Mashkin Chosavad Aser, we take his money till 10. Shloishim Mashkin Chosavad Aser. Esrim Mashkin Chosavad Aser. Chosaboy Shal Aser. The last guy backs off. Then Moichim Moise Bishav, you sell it, whatever you can get for it. And if you don't get a 10, then he got to pay the difference. So if you end up selling the field for 5, the 10 guy gives 5. That's the mission. That's the first din of the mission. We'll see why it works this way, because logically we would say that if guy number 50 backs out, and guy number 40 backs out, right? So the 50 guy is obviously responsible for his 10, which he added. He should also be responsible for part of the 40 guy, because Bechlau Mosayim Hunah. When he said 50, he was going to give 50. That means he was going to give 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. So when the 40 guy backs out, the 50 guy should have to pay part of the 40 guy's bid. In other words, 50 drops out and 40 drops out. So really, the 50 guy shouldn't just be responsible for 10. It should be the 10 that he's responsible for. And now the next 10 that Hektish lost, his $50 pledge covered that 10 too, as well as the $40 guy. So that 10 should be split between the $50 guy and the $40 guy. Got what I'm saying? The extra 10 that he put on that he is definitely his. That's his. $40 guy said 40 is my limit. All these people are lechayre giving limits what they will give Hektish. The $40 guy says I'll give up to 40. $50 guy says, I'll give up to 50. The $50 guy is not saying, I'm going to give only 50, 10. He says, I'm giving up to 50. So now when 50 backs out and 40 backs out, so the 10 that the $50 guy increased, he's responsible for. The 10 that the $40 guy increased over the 30, the $50 guy was also going to pay it. So the $50 guy should get a bill of 15. And the $40 guy should get a bill of 5. That's the way it should be. And we'll see that the Gemara holds this way. In Svara, the Gemara holds this way. It should be that way. And the Rambam doesn't learn that way, which is, we'll see, we'll get back to a problem with the Rambam. But that seems to be the way the Gemara holds. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, okay, so that's the din of the Mishnah. Basically, the Mishnah seems to be saying, each guy's increase bid is what he's responsible for. First guy's responsible for 10, the second guy's responsible for 10, the third guy's responsible for 10. Each guy, it's like layers. Each guy is responsible for the layer that they put on top of the cake. They are not responsible for the lower levels. They're only responsible for their increased layer. That's the way the Mishnah seems to pask. Although it seems to be illogical. It seems to be that when you put the layer on top of the cake, you should have a stake in the whole cake. Says the Mishnah. Now what happens about the Bailam? Ha Bailam oyme be'esri. The Bailam says 20, v'chol adam oyme be'esri. So we got a bid for 20 from everybody. 20 from the Bailam, 20 from the market. Ha Bailam koidme. The Bailam come first. Now really the Mishnah should say the Bailam come first because they are the mitzvah. But the Mishnah says, b'mnei shehem oysifin choymish. Because we get an extra fifth. We get 25 from the Bailam. What happens? Omar Echad Arei Yishili Be'esrim V'achas. Here's where the complication comes in. Says the Gemara on Amid Beis, says the Mishnah on Amid Beis, Habaylim Noisnim Esrim V'sheish. The Bailim now have to give 26, which means the original 25 plus the additional 1 for the guy that added the 1. Be'esrim V'shtayim. If somebody else comes and offers 22, the Bailam have to now give 27. Abailam lois the mesam v'sheva. Be'esrim v'sholosh, Abailam lois the mesam v'shmoyne. Esrim v'arba, Abailam lois the mesam v'teish. Now here's be'esrim v'chomesh, l'chore, the Bailam should just run away. Habailam lois the mesam. We'll see why. L'chore, the Bailam should say, I'm out of the picture. I offered 20, which in other words is 25, and now you have a $25 bid. So sell it to him. She'ein moisif in choymeh shal ilu shol zeh. This statement in the Mishnah explains why at the 26, 27, 28, 29, why isn't the Bilam adding a fifth to the increased bid? Why isn't the Bilam adding to the 22, to the 23, to the 24? Because the Bilam don't have to add to that. That's his personal bid. I'm not involved with that. Which is, and our question is, if you're not involved with that, if you're talking not involved with that, so why do you have to be involved? At all. Just pay your original 25. That's a big problem. Once we're turning to you and saying, it's not really a bid for you, so then why are you responsible to go and add your 5 on top of his bid? Just add your original 5 that you were going to give, which was a subtotal of 25. The Gemara says this means Esrim Vishesh and a Mashehu, and a Pruta. Now it's up to the Bailam, because they're out of the picture now. Because their bid was 20, which was 25, and this guy's 26. So it's up to the Bailam. If they want, they could do it. Habailam koidmim. If not, we tell the guy, it's yours, the second guy, the second bidder. Okay. So now we're gonna go through the parts of the Gemara that deal with the issues of the Mishnah. Our first issue as we had was, we didn't understand Bechlal, why are the Bailam responsible to give the other guy's bid? And if they are, then why don't they have to add a fifth to it? Mamon of Shech. It's not here and not there. So that's very difficult. Now besides for that difficulty the Gemara doesn't deal with. The difficulty the Gemara deals with is, why is it that the $50 guy is only responsible for 10? He should also be responsible for the 5 of the $40 guy when the $40 guy backs out. That's the Gemara's question. Omar Rav Chisda says, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. The Mishnah is not talking about one story. The Mishnah is talking about the $50 guy backed out, and that was the end of story, and they lived happily ever after. When the $50 guy backed out, the $40 guy was still in the circle. He was still keeping his bid. So the $50 guy could say, okay, the story ended. I backed out. I wouldn't have backed out if there wasn't a $40 guy here. There was a $40 guy here still when I backed out. And he was still ready to pay. So when I backed out, I was only giving Hektish a loss of 10. That's why I'm only responsible for 10. Eina Chanami, if the $40 guy was also backing out, when I backed out, we were backing out at the same time, then the $50 guy would be responsible both for his 10 and for the other 5 of the $40 guy. Because the $40 guy turns to the $50 guy and he says, when you bid 50, you weren't bidding 50, you were bidding up to 50. So your bid included my bid and overrode it. So therefore you're responsible, which is logical. So Rav Chisda seems to make the din of the Mishnah logical. But if the $40 guy is not in his place, then Mishalshin Beinehem. Then it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is, then the $50 guy got to participate partially in the $40 guy's bid. Two. And that's how Rashi teaches. Rashi says clearly that the $50 guy, the $40 guy is there, and the $50 guy, so Rashi says then the $50 guy got to give 15. That's how Rashi teaches. So Rashi says clearly that according to what the Gemara is coming out with, the $50 guy, every layer that's added to this cake, you become responsible for everything below you. You're not out of the picture. You're in the picture. You can't give 10 slime and then fly a kite. You got to do damage control. Whoever's pulling out here, when you came in and offered 50, you became a partner in making Hekdish whole up until 50. Everybody made an Amira Lahekdash. The 10 guy made an Amira, the $20 guy made an Amira, the 30 guy, every guy made an Amira. And the way the Gemara sees it is, every guy is becoming a Shutif. The $10 guy is saying, I'm responsible for 10 zuz, up to 10 zuz. The $20 guy is saying, I'm responsible up to 20. So when the $50 guy comes in, who's the winner, he's not just saying, I'm going to add 10 to the 40. He's saying, I'm taking it for 50. Now we look at him and say, okay, give 50. He says, I don't want him. So we say, okay, we'll see what we're going to lose here, but you took responsibility of 50. Okay. So now, if the only thing left is 30, so we still look at the $50 guy and say, okay, 10 of it you added above everybody, that's yours. The rest of it you got a partner. The $40 guy also took responsibility on anything under 40, as well as you. Because 30 is also less than 50. So any number that's below yours, you took on a responsibility. So when I said I'm going to give 50, I took responsibility on any number that's less than 50. When the other guy said 40, he took responsibility on anything less than 40. So the 10 between 30 and 40 has two shutfim. The 10 below from 30 to 20 has three shutfim. And that's how it works. That's how the Gemara works it out. The $50 guy is constantly paying. The $50 guy is constantly paying. The $40 guy is constantly paying anything below his number, he's participating. Basically, when you put in your bid, you can't back out. If you back out, you're responsible. And pending how many partners you have is how much you're going to pay. How many partners do you have? Any guy that gave a bid lower than you is your partner. So the $50 guy has a $40 partner. And technically everybody below him. The $40 guy is not a partner with the $50 guy, but everybody below him. And so on and so forth. That's where the partnership works. So therefore, the $50 guy is always paying. Even if they all back out, if every single guy on the list backs out, the $10 guy pays the full 10. The $50 guy first gives his 10, that nobody's there to partner with him. And then the other 40, he has four partners. The four guys cut the loss of the rest of the money, whatever the bill is. That's how the Gemara works. So the Gemara makes it very logical. The Gemara makes it very logical. What? Shelley, the $50 guy also promised 40. He promised 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. No. He was in a sense saying, when he went to 50, he was saying, let these four guys go jump in the lake. I'm paying 50. Hector says, well, what do you want us to do with these four guys? Go say L'chaim. What was he saying when he said, when you buy an Aliyah, when we sell Levi, and we get a bid for 50, for 100, and then we get your $150 bid, right? Which you never go that high, but you should. And then, when you give us your $150 bid, what are you telling we should do for the other two, three guys? Are you saying, I'll give another $50, or are you saying the other guys, L'chaim will shalom, look at me for the $150? Correct to what? When I come in and I say I'm a co-signer for you for the full $100, right? When I say David is making a loan, he's borrowing money from Rabbi Turk, and I say I'm the co-signer. Okay, I'm gonna pay. I tell Rabbi Turk I'm paying the whole thing. Okay, so now Pinny comes into the circle. He says, you know what? I'm co-signing too. I'm also co-signer. Now he's responsible for the whole 100, correct? So each guy that bids becomes like a cosigner. Because if you ever looked at the Arvus, it's good if you don't look at the Arvus, but if you look at the Arvus on a Gemach, you'll see that basically you're signing off everything to that. It's Kilu, there's no other co-signers. And no, but you're the only person left in the world, you have to pay everything. There could be six co-signers, but each one is signing off his life. That's what the Gemara is saying here. When you come in and you say you're giving 50, so you got to be responsible. The other four guys, whatever they may be, fly-by-night guys, you're responsible for your 50. Now you back out. Yeah? So we say, okay, number one, you added 10 here that nobody even spoke about, so give us the 10. That's number one. Number two, you also, at the same time when you said you'll give 50, became a partner with the 10, 20, 30, 40 guy. No. They're all responsible. That's not an option. That's not an option. It remains a choiv. Hektish will go over them until death. The Gisbur got what he had to get from you. It's not like today. Today you write off choivis, right? They didn't do that in those days. What? You could. The $40 guy now got to pay the $5 between him and the 30. Okay, now if the 30 guy backs out, if the $30 guy backs out, then the 20 that's between the 40 and the 20, that's shared by the 40 guy and the 50 guy. So the 50 guy pays 20 and the 40 guy pays 10. You could. You get $5. You pay 10, and then you pay 5, and the $40 guy pays the other 5. Why can't I tell you the $40 guy for my $5? I have to give you because you didn't do the right thing. In other words, I understand that the head is on the higher. That I understand. Hegdish has the hegdish. So Hegdish goes to you and to Hegdish is not getting involved in the between you and the $40 guy. Hegdish comes to collect their debt. And they say, as far as we're concerned, we have two people here that took responsibility for everything over between 30 and 40. That's all. Hegdish says that. So. Of course. The only difference between Hegdish and everything else is that by everything else we would say just the Amira is nothing. So just saying, it doesn't mean anything. You need to make a shtar, you need to make a kinyan. The only difference between this case and a hedyot is that this enacts through an amira. That's all. Because he never said he'll give 10. He said, I'm responsible for up to 40. The 50 guy said, I am responsible for up to 50. That's what Hektish hears. Hektish doesn't hear tens. Hektish hears, I am responsible up to this amount. You say 30, it means you're responsible up to 30. Another guy walks in and says, you know what? I'm responsible for 40. Up to 40, I'm responsible. Another guy comes in and says, I'm responsible for up to 50. So if between 40 and 50, they only have one guy responsible. From the low number to 40, they have two people responsible.
If they said, he said 40, and then they stopped getting, he'd have to pay at least 10.
Correct.
So once he's...
But now somebody else joined the responsibility. There's no halacha that you can... You never said, I'm going to give Hektish 10. You said, I'm responsible for 40. I never said I'm giving anything to Hegdish. When you're bidding, you're not saying I'm going to give, you're saying I'm responsible. I'm responsible up to this amount. That's all you're saying. Okay. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, but if not, and now the Gemara tries to work this out in the Lashon of the Mishnah. Okay? But the bottom line is that's the Gemara's conclusion. That the only time you have the din of the Mishnah the way it's written is where when the $50 guy backs out, the $40 guy is still in the loop. And that's why he's only responsible for 10. Then the $40 guy backed out, the $30 guy was in the loop. So therefore, when I backed out, I only backed out of 10. And so on and so forth. That's the way you read the Mishnah. So the Gemara is saying that all these things are concurring situations that happen one after the other, and that's why the halacha is that way. If they would back out together, then it would be a different halacha. Then each guy would be responsible for his additional amount, plus a piece of whatever's below him. That's the Gemara. Now skip to the two knots. The Gemara goes now to the second din of the Mishnah. Habaylam oimrim be'esrim v'chol adam be'esrim. So the Gemara says, l'meimra, the choymish adif, that the choymish is better. Says the Gemara, l'meimra the choymish adif. From our Mishnah, you see, we look at the choymish. So when the Gizbar is talking about who he's going to give it to, he says, I'm going to give it to the Baylam, because the Baylam offered 20 plus a choymish. So I look at the final number, I don't look at the principal. I look at the principal plus the added number. So the Gemara says, "Verminu, Balabayis, I'm a besela." Balabayis says, "I'll give a sela." This is by Maaser Sheni. Ve'echad oimer besela ve'iser, and another guy comes and says, "I'm going to give a sela plus an iser." Yeah, that's what I'm giving. Shel sela ve'iser koydem. The second guy comes first, even though the Bailam are going to give the Sela and a Chaymish. So you see that we don't look at the Chaymish. We ignore the Chaymish. We only look at the principal payment. It's highly illogical. Why do that? But that's what the Gemara is saying. We don't look at the Chaymish. We only look at the principal. The Gemara says, if that's the case, so in our case, why do we constantly go back to the Bailam? The Bailam said 20. The next guy said 22. Give it to the 22 guy. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara now makes a distinction between Maaser Sheni, and Hektish. Maaser Sheni, where Hektish doesn't get the proceeds. What happens with Maaser Sheni? The Bailam eat it in Yerushalayim. So Hektish has no benefit from it. Because Hektish is not the beneficiary, so we give it to whoever gives the highest principal. Maaser Sheni came by Hektish, where the Beis HaMikdosh is the beneficiary, then we give it to the one who we're going to end up getting the most money from. Moshe Fala Keren. The Gemara says that the answer is Hocho Chum Shiravcha de Hegdish. In our Mishnah, the Chaymish is a benefit to Hegdish. And therefore, Chaymish Adif. That's why we focus on the bottom line. Hosam Chum Shiravcha de Balabayis. Therefore, Karna Tifrik Shapir. We don't care about the Chaymish. I'll ask you a different question. If that's the case, why do we care altogether? Why are we mixing in? This is a Pella. Why are we mixing into this guy's business? I have Maaser Sheni. Yeah? I have Maaser Sheni. It's my Maaser Sheni. And I come and I say, I'm redeeming it for 50. Another guy walks in, and he says, I'm giving 55. First of all, why can I turn back? I go, excuse me. It's my Maaser Sheni. No trespassing. What are you doing in my house? Stop. What's tooth the door? Get out of here. Which is really what the Gemara in conclusion, the Gemara says, so one second over there, the halacha is, the $55 guy gets the Maaser. So you're sitting in your house, you're talking to your wife. You go, Rochala, I think I'll give 50 sloyim for this Maaser Sheni. All of a sudden, your neighbor passes by and says, I hear you want to redeem your Maaser Sheni for 50. I'm giving 55. Kol Tov, what are you doing here? It's my Maaser Sheni. Zich, if your Maaser Sheni is Mom and Hegit, you could use Maaser Sheni to be Mekadosh and Isha. It's my Maaser Sheni. What are you in my living room for? Mela Hektish. Hektish is an open market. Hektish is not mine. Hektish is an open market. So it's a bid. It's like you have a foreclosure. Foreclosure, so the fact that you lived in the house till now, so what? It's open. The bank is selling. Makes sense. Maaser Sheni, it's me. So I'm redeeming. So the Gemara basically says, over here, where Hekdish is going to benefit from the proceeds, so we can't ignore the Chaymish. Chaymish is very important to us. By the Maaser Sheni, Hekdish doesn't gain by the proceeds. And because Hekdish doesn't gain by the proceeds, so we go by the principle. Who's offering more on the principle? So I want to take now the Gemara's conclusion, and I want to ask, I don't understand the whole din. It's true. Hekdish doesn't benefit. This Bala boss is redeeming his own Maisa Sheni. What does his neighbor have to do here? What shaykhis is he doing here? Why are we making a bidding war? The Vilna Goyen comes based on this din, and he mixes into Aloch and Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. That's why I gave you the Ma'ar Mekoymus here in Hilchas Pidyon HaBen in Shin Hei. It's a very interesting Aloch. The Ramah talks about whether a father could make a shliach to redeem his son. The Ramah brings down a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. He says a father can't make a shliach to make Pidyon HaBen. This was the famous story with Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, that one of his Talmidim in the Kollel had a boy, and he wanted to leave the yeshiva for the bris of his own son. Forgetting, you know, a Kollel guy is going to a bris of his, you know, his aunt Hilly's nephew. This is his son's bris. So he went to Rabbi Elchanan. He said, Rabbi Elchanan, I'm leaving. He said, why are you leaving? He said, I'm going for my son is having a bris. I had a boy. So he looked at him, he goes, "Bis the mile? You're the mile? Why are you leaving yeshiva?" So that was Rabbi Chanan. But for Pidyon HaBen, Rabbi Chanan wouldn't have had a taina. Because the Ramah writes, "Ve'ein av yochol livdois al yidei shliach." Father can't use a shliach. He got to go. For the bris mila, he can make a shliach. For Pidyon HaBen, he says he can't make a shliach. He brings this down from the Rivosh, the Ramah. The Vilna Goyen very strongly objects to this Ramah. The Vilna Goyen here says, Kol zehu tamua. He says, I don't understand this Ramah from beginning to end. He says, Deloimi boy al yidei shliach. Of course, if you made a shliach to redeem your son, of course it should work. What is this like, putting on tefillin? That you can't make a shliach to put on tefillin for you? Of course you can make a shliach. Shlucha shaladim kemoisai. Of course you can do it. Ella, he says, the af achar yochol livdois. Anybody could redeem. You hear a maaseh? A guy runs to a Pidyon HaBen, the father's not there, he goes to the kohen, he says, here's 5 sloim, his son is redeemed. The gon holds, even without the reshus of the bailam, even without the reshus of the owner, somebody else could redeem the boy. Afilu beloy daitei shel av. And now the Goyen comes and he proves it. He says, Deloy Odif mi Maisa Sheni. He brings down our sugya. Maisa Sheni, your neighbor just walked into your living room and said, you know what? I'm redeeming it. You're only giving 50, I'll give 55. And you can't tell the guy, excuse me, this is my Maisa Sheni, it's my house, take a walk. No. He's walking in, he's redeeming your Maisa Sheni. You're shrying, I'm giving 50. So the Goyen, the Vilna Goyen, is using our sugya as a raya that you could redeem without the person's knowledge at all. Actually, the Goyen is not answering the problem. I think the problem is massive. It's a massive problem. How could this other person redeem Maisa Sheni? What's his business here? Especially the Gemara's Maskona, Lekha Rav Chodeh Hekdesh. There's no Rav Chodeh Hekdesh. Hekdesh is not benefiting. V'chein hekdesh k'moy she'omu l'sam ba'erichin. V'kol she'kein kan she'enu yel achoyv ba'alma. The Goyen says, all this is a choyv. All it is an obligation. If I go and pay a debt, you owe $1 million, and I know you can't afford it. And I go to to the person you owe money to. Right? And I go and pay him off the $1 million. Yeah? I pay him $1 million. Pay your credit $1 million. So now, could your creditor go to you and collect it? Of course not. The loan is paid up. Ah, you didn't know about it, so what? So the Vilna Goyen says, so if I go and do a Pidyon HaBen for somebody else, even if he didn't know about it, doesn't matter. The Goyen took the 5 sloim. That's it, it's washed away. And then he goes and he proves it from different sugyas and shas, this concept. So he strongly objects to the Ramah. But one of his main proofs is our sugya. There are other sugyas in Bechoris where it says clearly that certain Amiroyim sent money for Pidyon HaBen. But that, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Shiurim and Kiddushin, says a beautiful concept which answers that too. He says there's two kinds of shliach. There's a conceptual shliach and a practical shliach. I brought down in Hilchos Shleich Munos, if you could send me Shleich Munos with a goy. Some of these stuck organizations, right? They have a truck goes around, and the shegetz comes with your Shleich Munos. Right? UPS. Can you be yoytze Shleich Munos that way? So I brought down from the Chassam Sofer from Gittin, that the Chassam Sofer holds you yoytze. He says, because you don't need a shliach. You don't need a shliach. The guy in the middle is a monkey. He's a monkey in the middle, literally. He's a monkey in the middle. And the Chassam Sofer says, not a joke. He says you could use a monkey too. If you had a trained monkey that can deliver the shliach manas, zich will be Purim dick. Makayim is shliach manas. Azoy zok the goyen. And the Chassam Sofer. And his reason is, he says, because the mitzvah is to get this money to that guy, to get it to his address. Doesn't matter how I facilitated it, I got it to him. So Chaim Shmulevitz says a great word. He says, the pidyon haben has to be done by the father. Who delivers the money? That's just a monkey. That's a monkey. So the sugyas and shas that say that the father sent the money through somebody else, that's fine. That's just the money delivery. And the Ramah is talking about a case where the other person is going to be the one who's doing the whole deal. It's his money. He's going to try to redeem my son. That doesn't work. That's what the Ramah is talking about. The Ramah is not talking about doing the practical thing of taking the money and giving it to the Kohen. That you could use whatever you want. You could even use a monkey for that too. If you had a trained monkey by the Pidyon HaBen and you gave him the 5 shloim and you gave it to the Kohen, no problem. That's from Chaim Shmulevitz. I think that the pshat in the Ramah is so simple that I was baffled that the Goyim was bothered by it. Because I hold out what the Ramah is saying in the Rivosh is mamish poshet petachos apashtos. Because when you have a firstborn son, be'etzem, does he have any kedusha? L'chay or not? I mean, the Orach HaShulchan says this conceptual, he doesn't have kedusha. If somebody would use this firstborn boy without pidyon haben, is he moyel behektish? If you have a bechor that never had a pidyon haben, and I use him as a waiter, am I moyel behektish? Of course not. Of course not. Why? Because there's no physical kedusha on him. Elamai, there's a mitzvah on the father to conceptually do this pidyon. So if the son would be'etzem be kadosh, like hektish, like Maisa Sheni, then you could say somebody else could go and remove the Kedusha. But here there's no removing of Kedusha b'chlal. There's a mitzvah la'av. And if there's no father, the son has a mitzvah to redeem himself. And the Gemara learns it out of Pesukim. That makes sense. That's what the Gemara is saying. There's nothing to put the mitzvah on. By Maisa Sheni and Hektish, there's b'cheftza. There's Kedusha on the object. So anybody could go and do it. They're enacting. It's putting the switch on. By Pidyon HaBen, you don't have that. That's what I think B'loi Shum Sofek is the Pshat and the Ramon and the Rivosh. But anyway, what's Negeh to us, the Goyen's question is great. So I want to tell you what I think the Pshat here is. The Pshat is like this, I think. When a person comes, and the Rambam, by the way, ignores this. The Rambam holds that, like, the Rambam reads our Mishnah Kipshutoi, even if they all back out together. That means according to the Rambam, if number 50 and number 40 and number 30 back out, each one pays 10. Not the 50 guy pays part of the 40 guy, not the 40 guy pays part of the 30 guy. No, Shelley's very happy with this Rambam. Each guy pays 10. That's all. Out of story. Azoy zok the Rambam. The Ravid, if you look at the Ravid that I gave you to look up, the Ravid says, Omar Avro, Afa Pishomu Mishal Shem Beineim, Ein Nira Kipirusha. He says, I don't hold like the Rambam. And the Gemara says, the Gemara itself seems to be bothered that each guy should give part of the guy below him. The Rambam obviously didn't learn the Gemara that way, like the Kesef Mishnah explains. But you have to know why. What's the Pshat in the Rambam? What is the Pshat in the Rambam? Why did the Rambam not learn that way? So I want to tell you a simple Chakira. Shouldn't take us more than another 3-4 minutes. Very simple. Simple chakira. When a person comes in and makes a bid, I say 10, you say 20, the next guy says 30. Okay, there are two ways to look at this bidding process. One is it's like an aliyah. Similar to an aliyah. If a guy goes and says $1,000 mafta yed, another guy comes in and he says $2,000 mafta yed, and then it keeps on going. Right? Are they pricing mafta yena? Of course not. They're obligating themselves to give a certain amount of money to the shul in exchange for getting the aliyah. They're not making a price on mafta yena. What's mafta yena worth in the open market? We're not creating a price. A price is titled a shuma. Shuma is an evaluation. When Yankee gets up and he goes, I'll give $1,000, that's just, he's saying, he'll give $1,000, thank you. Next guy comes and says, I'll give $2,000. That doesn't become an evaluation. It becomes an obligation. It's an obligation, not an evaluation. The other way to look at it is not that way. The bidding process, by hekdish, by redeeming, that's a pricing. That teaches what the price is. That is the price. And that becomes the price. Now that's the price. It's a tremendous nafkamina between the different ways of looking at it. Why? Yeah, there's a big difference between what you would pay because you want the covet and between what becomes now the market price. Lamoshal, Shuma normally needs 10 people. Right, but when you evaluate karka, you need 10 people. What does that mean? If one guy says this is what it's worth, we say, so what? Doesn't matter. We have 10 professional appraisers. They say what it's worth. I mean, you see what happened the last couple of years with appraisals? It's meaningless. You could say something's worth whatever you'd like it to say it's worth. That's all. Remember when I bought my house, then there was a total hefgeveld. I bought my house over 20 years ago. So the house then was $180,000, which I thought was crazy price. And I remember the appraiser came down. So I asked him afterwards, this was the bank's appraiser. I asked him afterwards, I said, so what's it going to be? He said, it'll be whatever you like it to be. He said it like a joke, but it was, well, whatever you want it to be, it'll be. That's why there's a very diligent process that we scrutinize the value to determine what a value is. That's no shiloh, by the way. If one guy walks in and says, I'm appraising this land at $100. It's worthless in Hekdesh. Throw it out the window. You need 10 people to make a shuma. Even a professional, even an expert would walk in and say, I evaluate this property as such, and I have 20 degrees in appraisals. I'm a professional expert appraiser. In halacha, it's worthless. So logic dictates that when I go and raise my hand and say, I'll give 10 for the field, that's not an appraisal. Because even if you're talking about a professional appraiser, you need 10 of them. You know what I mean? How could it be an appraisal? Which is ultimately the kasha. The Gemara says, Lo yishanu ala shalom nishan. It wasn't evaluated. If it was evaluated, that's the price. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Three people can't evaluate? You need 10 people to evaluate? Whatever. It doesn't work. So why am I even declaring that this is an evaluation? L'chair, it's not. You need 10 people to evaluate. How in the world could this be called any kind of evaluation? So I'll tell you why. There's a big difference between somebody who says, I assess that chair at $10, and somebody who says, here's $10 for the chair. When you're an assessor, when you're trying to appraise a value, then we scrutinize the process. Because you're just projecting. It's a projection. Right? A projection, we need 10 people to project a value before it becomes what Hekdesh considers actual value. Projections is nothing. If you have 10 experts, that's an evaluation. One guy making a projection is nothing. It's like a forecast. It's garnished. But if a guy walks in and says, I'm paying 10 for the field, as far as Hekdesh is concerned now, that became the shavius of the field. You know why? Because that wasn't an appraisal. That was a payment. That was an offer. An offer, maybe, la halacha, is a evaluation. It's a tremendous nafkamina. If we learn that each person is obligating themselves, right? So then, when I come and I say 10, I'm obligating myself to 10. I'm not saying what the field is worth. It's an obligation, 10. Next guy comes and he says 20. He's saying what the field's worth. I'm giving 20. I'm obligating myself to 20. So then, each one of them is an independent contractor. I'm coming in and saying, I'll give 20 for this. Next guy comes and says, I'll give 30 for this. Each one is coming independently and obligating themselves to a certain amount to Hekdesh. But when, that's if you learn that way. But if you learn, it's an evaluation. Each person is not coming in and obligating themselves to any certain amount. Each person is going ahead and say, this is what it's worth. Now when Hekdesh goes to the guy, the next guy who offers 20, they tell him, listen, the thing is worth 10 as far as we're concerned. He comes and he says, I'm raising that value. I'm telling you it's worth 20. That's what it's worth. The next guy comes and he says, you know what, I'm telling you it's worth 30. Right? So each one is coming in and evaluating it. They're not obligating themselves. They're creating a new value that didn't exist before. And each one is creating a $10 extended value. Azoy halta Rambam. Zokta Rambam. So Mamela, I'm never more responsible than the 10. All I did was I came in and tagged on another $10 evaluation to what this is worth to Hekdesh. I wasn't obligating myself. This was an evaluation process. And I am responsible for my evaluation. When I came in and I said, I will tag on another $10 to the value of this item. Reuven says it's only worth 20. I'm tagging on, I say it's worth 30. So now you stand behind that evaluation. Your evaluation is that it's worth 10 more than the guy before you said it was worth. Yeah, yeah, if he wins. What he's doing is doing two things. Number one, he's saying, if I get the field, this is what I'll pay for it. Number two, he's standing behind his increased appraisal. He's an appraiser. He's an appraiser. He said, number one, you should know. The Rambam holds like this. This is the question all of you were asking. When I come in and say 50, I'm not really saying I'd give 50. I'm saying I'll give 10 more than him. Why do we say we look at it like, we said, well, the Mishnah seems to be saying, based on the sugya, you're saying you'll give everything up to that amount. The Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, l'maskona, each person is an evaluator. So when he comes in and he says, I'm ready to give 40, he's saying like this, if you give it to me, I'll give 40. That's number one. Number two, the other guy said it was worth 30, I'm tagging on another 10 onto that. That 10 that you're adding an evaluation can only be chal if you're ready to give 10. Memela, on that it becomes an obligation. Zokta Ramba, now as they back out and as the deal crumbles, each one has to stand behind their evaluation that they increased. And that's why 10, 10, 10. That's why the Ramba holds, you're never more responsible than your increased evaluation that you threw out. Because that's all I really did. I didn't obligate myself b'chlal, according to the Rambam. I just made an evaluation. Now, the only way you could make an independent evaluation without 10 is by you standing behind it and saying, you know what, I'd give 10 more. That was the way you evaluated it. Because the way I'm explaining to you is the way you evaluate something is either the professional method, which is you have 10 people come in and evaluate, or you have individuals who are ready to pay. So I came in, you said you're ready to pay 20. I came in and said, you know what? I'm ready to pay another 10 more than Shelley's ready to pay. Hector says, okay, that became an evaluation. But the only way that became an evaluation is because you obligated yourself on that extra 10. Oh, comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says like this. By my Sasheni, nobody's the beneficiary. I'm sitting in my living room. I'm sitting in my living room. Nobody has a right to be paid to my Sasheni. What right do they have to redeem my Sasheni? Nobody has a right to redeem my Sasheni. But they have a right to make an evaluation. So when that neighbor walks in and he says, I will give 25, Who's he giving 25? It's really me. That was our whole question. Our question was, why in the world does that guy have a right to even be here? Terah says, he's not have a right. He's evaluating it. He's saying, I would pay $60 for that carton of oranges. By him saying that, that becomes the value. And now the owner can't redeem it anymore for the 50. That's the lumdus. And the mail of the Vilna Goyen's cash is off from the Ramo. Because the Vilna Goyen is looking at it like the Gemara is talking about who has a right to redeem it. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about an evaluation process. And the Gemara is saying when Yana comes in and he offers 55 and he's ready to pay 55, so that now is a shuma. Now you, owner, you can't redeem it anymore for 50. What do you mean? He has two choices now. Either he could pay 55, or he's going to have to go ahead and let the other guy be paid it. Because he doesn't have a pigeon on the table anymore. You follow what I'm saying? His pigeon is not a real pigeon. So when the neighbor came in, it's no different than you're about to eat a piece of meat. You think it's shuman. It's your meat. You bought it. You went and bought it in a local butcher shop. I don't want to make meat analysis in Muncie, but you went, you bought a piece of meat, you named it, it was kosher. Yeah? And now your neighbor walks in and he says, Reb Yid, the piece of meat you're about to eat, I'm an eid echot. I'm telling you that that's not kosher meat. That's chalev. Could you turn to him and say, excuse me, this is my house, my living room, my meat. What are you doing here? He's not coming to take something away from you. He's being megale. He's clarifying that this is Issa. And you have to deal with what he just said. Ah, he's not a balabos. He's not a balabos. He's telling us the facts. That's pshat in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, if another guy, if you're about to redeem your Maisa Sheni, and another guy walks in and he says, one second, you're redeeming your Maisa Sheni, your carton of oranges for $50. I would pay 55 for that carton of oranges. So now we say, okay. We turn back to the owner and we go, Reb Yid, your bid is not a bid. Because the evaluation of those oranges is 55. It's not that he has a right, you don't have a right. He clarified that there's a higher value here. Now your redemption doesn't work. Now we understand the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, well, why, Taka, don't we take the owner's bid? The owner really was going to give us 50 plus a fifth. You follow? The owner was going to give us more than the 55 of the other guy anyway. The other guy is saying, I would pay 55 for the oranges, yeah? The owner said, I would pay 50, but his 50 wasn't just 50. Because his 50 was really 60. Right? His 50 was really 60. So why do we listen to the other guy's bid? Why don't we take his 50? Why don't we take his 50? Plus the chaymish. Why don't we take the 50 plus the chaymish? The teretz, no, right, exactly. The teretz is, when the other guy came in and said, I would give 55, that became the evaluation. So now the owner says, but I was going to give you 50 plus a chaymish, you get more money at the end of the day. We tell the owner, it doesn't matter. You can't redeem it for 50 anymore. Because it's not worth 50, it's worth more than 50. And the mail of us frek the goyen, that you could be paid the shalemi daite, it's not pshat you could be paid the shalemi daite. You're just making an evaluation. Now the owner doesn't have the independence to say, well, it's only worth 50. It's not only worth 50. Mela has nothing to do with the Ramon and Hilchas Pidyon HaBen as far as redeeming a Al Yidei Shliach by Pidyon HaBen. Okay, we'll stop.